Tonight on NBC, John Ritter portrays L. Frank Baum, the author of The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, in a TV biography called The Dreamer of Oz. Television critic David Bianculli has this review.
If you're going to tell a story about the man who wrote The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, you've got two problems right away. One is that the audience already knows the ending. No matter how many careers Frank Baum tries, no matter how many personal failures he has, you know that he's eventually going to strike gold. The other problem is that the Judy Garland movie based on the book is as popular as the book and can't really be ignored. Surprisingly, The Dreamer of Oz turns both those problems into assets. It acknowledges the movie in the very first scene, which takes place at the Hollywood premiere of The Wizard of Oz in 1939. Annette O'Toole, playing Frank Baum's widow, is at the premiere, and a reporter's questions to her launch the drama's full-length flashback. And just like in The Wizard of Oz, the first and last scenes of The Dreamer of Oz are in black and white. Everything else is in color. As for the non-surprising ending, writers Richard Matheson and David Kirshner get around that by treating Baum's life story as a kind of fairy tale, a larger-than-life love story. Most of the fun comes from learning where Baum drew his inspirations for the characters and events in his classic children's story, which for years he developed by telling to any children who would listen. One key revision in the story comes when Baum visits his terminally ill niece.
Hello, Uncle Frank.
How are you, darling?
I'm fine. Uncle Frank, will you tell me some more about the magic land and the little boy who flew there in the house?
I would love to tell you about that. Dorothy, I've got a secret I have to tell you. It really wasn't a little boy.
It wasn't?
Was a little girl, and her name was Dorothy.
Let me try and describe what happens next because it's beautiful and almost completely visual. Frank starts telling her the story of the Tin Man, and Dorothy's bedroom door slowly glides open, filling the room with light. The Tin Woodsman is standing there and walks through the doorway, but suddenly it's not the same doorway. He's walking outside from his own cabin and into the colorful land of Oz, where he begins chopping down a tall tree. But suddenly and forcefully, it starts to rain, and the poor Tin Man is rusted to a standstill. Then the scene fades to another terrible rainstorm, only this time it's Frank Baum who's out in the open, standing still. The camera pulls back, and we see that he's standing in a graveyard, at Dorothy's grave. Movies made for television aren't usually photographed this imaginatively, or this beautifully. The Dreamer of Oz is as pleasing to the eye as The Wizard of Oz. It's also very well acted. Ritter is a perfect choice to play Baum, and Annette O'Toole takes what could have been a standard supporting role and gives what I think is the best performance she's ever given. Finally, there's one other reason I really like The Dreamer of Oz. It shows, better than most dramas about authors, how a writer writes and how he gains inspiration from everything he sees. The Dreamer of Oz is not only inspired, it's inspiring.
David Bianculli is television critic for The New York Post.